Now have your seat, praise the Lord. I want to give us a short exhortation because we have something more to do this afternoon. And I'm going to pick it from a teaching I concluded recently. We concluded recently, since Community Church Java, and that's on In the Spirit, by the Spirit. So I'm going to show us something very important that I want us to pay attention to more than ever before. Now, in Luke's Gospel 24, and I'm going to read verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we have asserted that repeatedly, that the Bible of Jesus is Genesis to Malachi. Now we're going to pick out something very critical there in verse 44. And when he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets. Now notice something there. And in the Psalms concerning me. In the Psalms. Now, you could lay your hands on that teaching as quick as possible, because I'm going to just be very brief about this. It's in the Spirit, by the Spirit. That's 7B, I guess. 7B, where I talk about singing. Now, Jesus highlights the Psalms as though it's a different portion of God's Word. A different portion of the Old Testament books. Now, a major psalmist in the Bible is David. And David, you know, really was a major psalmist. He had about three quarters of all the psalms that came from him. And, you know, Jesus, right, is naming prophecy, is the son of David. And that's important. Is a son of David. Psalm 2 verse 7. Thou art my son. Today have I begotten you. It's believed that that had to do with David. Now, but if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 14, you see that God gave a promise to David to raise up a kingdom from his seed and set it up a house forever. So when Jesus came in the streets of men, God came in the streets of men, Jesus, and they called him son of David. And that had nothing to do with the fact that David was just his forefather. No, that's a name by prophecy. Just like when we call him, I love the man of Galilee. I've explained that to you. Galilee refers to that place where the nations were. So if it's called Jesus Christ of Galilee, it means it's Jesus Christ of the nations. So when he's called the son of David, it's a name in prophecy. And look at Acts 2. Peter pointed something out in Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, quickly. It says here, that men and brethren, verse 29, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Then he says, therefore being a prophet, someone said being a prophet. Now we said earlier, who is a prophet? He has the words of God, right? Come on. Being a prophet, 1, 2, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So it's not David who sat on God's throne, it's God who sat on Jesus' throne. Like I said, It's not man who is called to be like God. It's God who became like man. It's God who became like man. And so, here you have God. He sits on David's throne. Now watch this. He's seen this before of the resurrection of Christ. So, Jesus is called the Son of David. Look at Ezekiel. In fact, Ezekiel doesn't just call him the Son of David. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Verse 22. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. I will judge between the cattle and the cattle. Now, let's read 23 into 24 together. Let's go. And I'll set up one shepherd over them. Is that Jesus? Come on, is that Jesus? Talk to me, is that Jesus? I'll set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them. My servant David. Watch. He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord God, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Now, is he talking about David, the son of Jesse? Oh, no. He's talking about God, Jesus. He's called David. He's called David. One of his names is the root of Jesse. So, Jesus, that one said God became a man. You have to mention the men. God became Abel. Come on. Come on. God became Abraham. Come on. Not that God became a man. And the man is from Owo. I'm not done with you yet. God became a man. You have to identify the man. Abel. Hallelujah. Noah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham. Isaac. All those men, God took on their humanity. All of them. Like Moses. So Jesus is the new Abel. He was killed. He's the new Noah. He's the new Abraham. He's the new Isaac. Come on! You know, all of them failed at some point. So God had to renew what he was doing through them. And he came himself. So you have a new Abel. Come on! A new Noah, come on. A new Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Joshua. You know, Jesus bore the name Joshua. And it's deliberate. Because, watch this, when Moses failed, Joshua now became the shepherd that led them across the Jordan. So he took the name Joshua. So when you say God became a man, who are the men? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He bore all the frailties. Like I told you, that is why he asked them. He says, oh fool, slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ. What's Christ? Christ is not a proper name. Christ is anyone, anything that God has chosen to use. It's the word Meshach in the Hebrew. Where you have the word Messiah. And the very first time we see the word anointed, pay attention, anointed is not a proper name. It's a description. In Genesis 28, we see Jacob, he got up from this dream. You know, he slept on a pillow. The pillow is called a stone. And he saw the gates of heaven. And he saw, you know, a ladder coming down. And the Lord was upon it. And the angels of God ascended and descended upon it. And then God renewed his promise. He said, I will raise from your seed. I'll bless the nations of the earth. To the right, to the left. And it shall be like the sand of the seashore, of the earth, pardon me. And he got up and he said, wow, God was here, I did not know. He called the place Bethel, the place of God, the house of God. And what does he do? Listen now, listen well. It takes oil. Because that's in their culture. I told you, God uses who? Their culture. It takes the oil. Till today, many primitive cultures still do the same thing. Anywhere they believe a supernatural being has been, they put something there. I mean, you must have seen some corner piece where you see some sacrifices. In those days, me and my friends used to go and eat them.
that we eat them. Praise the Lord. I told my mom one day, she screamed! Ah! I said, ah, it's like a month ago now, and I'm still fine. You know, and they do that. So, because of their culture, he knew if God is here, the place has to be sacred. You know, we said in the morning that it was all about the land where God dwells. So what does Jacob do? He puts oil on it. It wasn't God that told him to do it, but God assumed it. He put oil. So in Genesis 31 and verse 13, God reminded him. He said, I am the God of Bethel, where you are anointed. That's the first time you see the word anointed in the Bible. The God of Bethel, where you anointed. Meshach. Where you poured oil. That means God accommodated that culture. He took it on himself. From that point. So you see, anointing sacred people with oil did not start with the people of the Bible. No, it's in their culture. So, from that point, priests had oil poured on them. Prophets, kings, anointed, whom God has chosen. Oil is poured. Oil is not poured so that they are anointed. Oil is poured because they are already anointed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you have Jesus. Now, so when Jesus says, pardon me, and he says, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? That means if truly God became a man, and men like Abel, Noah, Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if they were persecuted, he had to be like them. If they were killed, he had to be like them. That's why he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Can't you see the history of the anointed ones? And to enter into his glory. So it is God who became like man. Hallelujah. Is that making sense? It's God who became like man. Let's cut that short. So Jesus took on the name. It's called the seed of Abraham. It's called David. It's called Joshua. Joshua. He's called prophet. He's like man. Hallelujah. Now hear this. The character that is closest to in scripture is David. Hallelujah. The most quoted personality by Jesus was David. The what? You know, that David. You know, isn't God gracious? That David. I mean, you read the story of David and you say, no, God is making a mistake here. Imagine, he's going to be called by a name, he's called by Bathsheba's husband's name. Let me get clear to the point. That is the name that he bears. God became like man. You see, God is not ashamed or afraid of our mess. Hallelujah. Not at all. He bore it. People think that he just bore our sins on the cross, and that's why he just said, no. Oh, more this thing that you. No. He identifies with us fully. Hallelujah. Fully. He bears a man's name. Now this may hurt some people, but you know, he got into the womb of an unmarried woman. That's not good theology. Not good theology. No, not good theology. The virgin was conceived and bore a child. How more scandalous would God want to identify with men? Hallelujah. And you see some of this in our books. You see, some of the most scandalous women in the Bible were included in his genealogy. Hallelujah. I love that song by Nigeria. He's greater than what people say. Jehovah is greater than what people say.
You see, don't make God fit into your mold. See him as he is. Hallelujah. That's why I've quit the path of trying to defend God. I preach him naked. In the mess. Because in that mess, you're going to find his gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, he just bears everything. That's why, pay attention now. Now, don't forget, he was born in Bethlehem. Why? Because it's David's city. Right? He's called the root of Jesse. That's what he's called. Mary got into it by David. You know that genealogy? Jerusalem. David. Come on. Are you there? David. And this David, who is he? No. Who is he? And when he was going to the cross, watch this. The last conversation he had before he was captured with the Pharisees, Matthew 22, from verse 40 through to 43, 44, was about the Psalm of David. He said, oh, guys, you come back. One guy had asked him. It was a question and answer. Guy said, what's the greatest law? He was coming to tempt him. When he answered, he said, before you go, come back. The Christ, whose son is he? They said, David. If David is his father, how then doth David in the spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, Psalm 110 verse 1, sit at my right hand until I make the enemies your footstool. It's argued by many scholars, and I'm in that school, that is arguably the most referenced text of the Old Testament. And it was from the mouth of David. Watch this. When Jesus had the betrayer of Judas, who did he reference? Psalm 41 verse 9, David. When he's captured, and he's there, and he's wounded, and they gave him vinegar, who is he quoting? David. Come on, are you there? When he hung on the cross, and he said, I thirst, who is he quoting? David. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who is he quoting? David! When he went to the grave, when he said it is fulfilled, who is he quoting? David. When he went to the grave, and he said you will not abandon your holy one to see corruption, who is he quoting? David. When he rose from the dead, hallelujah, who is he quoting? David. When he gave them the great commission and says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part. That's Psalm 2 verse 8. He's still quoting David! David. That messy David in your eyes. Hallelujah. Because God chose him. Glory to God. And God has made us all to honor David. We just say in all our breath, which David said? He's under your, you can't say it out. Hallelujah. You know, somebody was asking me, he said, but that Numbers 12, when Aaron and Miriam, there was nothing wrong that they really said. Maybe their attitude. And I listened to him when he was done. He said, you know, Moses, why did Moses also marry an Ethiopian? He said, what do you think? I said, nothing. I like my skin the way it is. Hallelujah. He said, but that's in the Old Testament. You go find out. You do the finding out. Come on. I love the way my skin is, and I'm just fine with that. He said, but was he not wrong? I said, nobody told us. Hallelujah. I said, but why? Why? Can't we? I said, for us. He's many thousands of years away. Which one is your own? Is the Ethiopian woman your sister? God does not say something about something.
You know, when God asked Moses that he wasn't going to take the children to the promised land, and then Moses was one that called God in Numbers 27. God, you know, he said, I'm not going. Said, yeah, we need somebody to lead the people. You know, your method is always man. If I'm not going, we have to choose somebody. He knows God. God does not act on his own. He said, okay. And God said, see, you have a guy. Joshua. Take Joshua and ordain him. Who ordained Joshua? The same Moses. I thought God said, no, that's not your business. Me and Joshua, we have a personal parole. No. He said, you will now go and ordain him. So, where did Joshua get the wisdom to lead them out? From Moses. So, in other words, Moses' legacy was what he was carrying out. God never changes his mind. Hallelujah. He never changes his mind. And all through the life of Joshua, he doesn't mention what God said about Moses. Who would dare? No writer of the Bible spoke about Moses' disobedience or anger. You are the one that is preaching it. They don't talk about it. When you see God's response, were you not afraid? Were you not afraid? Someone say, we're no longer afraid. As it is, so are we in this world. Is he stupid? It's not stupid, so you are not as he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you didn't get that in the first instance. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. He's not an idiot. Is that clear? So, like a senior friend said a month ago, he said, many of us, even after we have studied Greek and Hebrew, we now use that Greek and Hebrew to baptize our own thinking. So it's still what you wanted to say that you were looking for Greek and Hebrew for. So you have just baptized your theology with original languages. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? So God assumes the character of these people. Yes, he does. Their names. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Not at all. He's not ashamed. God is not ashamed of Samson. God is not ashamed of Moses. God is not ashamed of Abel. He's not ashamed of the drunken Noah. No, Noah. Man of God. Hallelujah. Jesus calls his own days the days of Noah. He's not ashamed. God is not ashamed of his men. Hallelujah. He's loyal. Say, God is loyal. God is loyal because loyalty is unconditional. You give your word, you stay there. Hallelujah. God gave his word and he stood by his word. Did those men fail him? Yes. Did they disobey him? Yes. Did that change his loyalty? No! God is loyal. Unconditionally loyal. Hallelujah. You are the one that will change. He will not change. All through scripture is loyal. He's loyal. Who would have thought? He said to Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Then the next minute, Peter messes up. Jesus called him Satan. Matthew 16, 22, 23. He doesn't just stop there. Peter denied him. Who does he hand over the flock to? Who is the first pastor after the resurrection? The same Peter. God is loyal. He's loyal to men in their life. He's loyal to them in their death. You cannot believe the scriptures and not be loyal. It's not possible. It's not possible. God's faithfulness is his loyalty, not just to his word, is the word he gave to men. Why do you think Abraham is referenced also in scripture? God gave him his word. Abraham faltered. God helped him not to falter.
Hallelujah. He's loyal to David. Loyal to him. He bears his name. He's loyal to Moses. How would Jesus say that Moses spoke about me? If you had believed him, you would have believed me. Moses, I thought, perish your thoughts. Leave that matter. Whatever judgment God gave Moses, just use it to teach and explain and be very careful in your explanation. Hallelujah. Be very careful in your explanation. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? David knew that. That was why when he made an error and cut the cloaks of Saul, he said, I have sinned against God. He said, I don't touch the Lord's anointed. So when people spend hours trying to explain that touch not anointed is not to men of God, why are you wasting your time? Okay, do you now want to touch the anointed? Don't study the Bible to accommodate your bad habits. Don't create a theology out of your habits. You know, there's something called, Brother Tox calls it situational ethics. Situational theology. It's a theology you are creating for yourself. No. Let the word of God confront you. I say it like this. We cannot impose today's definition of good on the Bible. No. You can't impose today's definitions on the Bible. Leave the Bible the way it is. Hallelujah. God honored David. Even in death. He honored him. You know what? David couldn't build the temple because they said there was blood in his hands and all of that. And he gave to his son. But what does he call the temple he built? The temple God now built with Jew and Gentiles. He calls it the sure mercies of David. Or mercy loyalty. You see him? Say you see him. You see him? He calls that what we are called now is the sure mercies of David. Where all the Gentiles are coming. That same David that couldn't build it because his blood is in hand, blood in his hands. That's why he said, who shall ascend to the hill? He said, he that has cleansed his hands. He said, who shall, he said, who is, he said, who, he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory, who is the King of glory, the Lord of hosts, is the one that will build this temple. Hallelujah. He now built it and named it the Tabernacle of David. That's what the church is called. The body of Christ is called the Tabernacle of David. Glory to God. God's name is after man. God took his own name after human beings. Who's following what I'm saying this afternoon? Are you following what I'm saying this afternoon? Let's get back to what we're saying. So Jesus is most referenced. Let me have that. His most referenced personality. From his betrayal to his resurrection and to the great commission. David. So let's stand back and see something. If Jesus' most referenced texts were from the Psalms, what are Psalms? Psalms are songs. So songs are meant, listen now, to minister the supernatural. Psalms. When you say Psalms, you are quoting the lyrics of a song. Are you following what I'm saying? You need to get that teaching. Make sure you listen to it. You can start listening to it tonight. And I said to you in that teaching that songs are not ordinary. Songs, almost all the time, they carry a spiritual information. Go get that teaching. Songs are weapons. Songs are weapons.
Jesus referenced them. So when you hear Psalms, Psalms are lyrics of songs. If the most quoted text of New Testament writers is a song, then let us pay more attention to singing. Are you following what I'm saying? Because we are going to sing. That's why I'm preparing us to sing this evening, this afternoon, before we finish. Are you ready? Are you listening to me? Psalms are lyrics of songs. That's what they are. So, you're going to see this shortly. The new creation is born into singing. Singing. I wish I had more time on this one. Now, the template, remember we talked about Genesis in the morning? That we said Genesis refers to an Exodus. You remember that? You remember that? It's a redemption. Come on! Got it? And we said Genesis is not an event. Right? Genesis is God's theology. What God is doing in the earth is the beginning of the Bible. Light out of darkness. Hallelujah. The spirit upon the face of the deep. Hallelujah. So that's the Exodus. Now watch something. In Exodus 15, verse 1, when the children of Israel came through the Exodus, please don't forget to listen to that teaching, because I did some foundational explanation on what I'm about to say. But you know, I don't have all the time in this convention. In the Spirit, by the Spirit 7b, but don't forget, there are seven other series before it. But for the sake of today, you know. Exodus 15, are you in church? Now look at verse 14, verse 31. Israel saw and that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Exodus 15, 1, let's go. Then, I didn't hear you. Then sang Moses and the children. What did they sing? The song. Hallelujah. Unto the Lord. Spake saying, I will sing unto the Lord. So singing is a fact of our deliverance. We are saved to sing. Pastor Tommy told us earlier, we are saved to go to church. Put that in capital letter. We are saved to go to church. Not to use our phones. Amen. Up, up, Jesus. We are saved to sing. Glory to God. One of the ways we demonstrate our Exodus is by singing. Is by singing. God did not commission anybody in the body of Christ to sing to us. No. That's why I tell the music team in our church, and I've been saying that for many years, you don't come and sing for us to hear you. You sing to teach us songs so that we'll sing it together. Because what you are doing as the music team is the job of the pastor. It's the pastor that is the lead singer in the church. Because a key part of his pastoring is teaching us songs. So a pastor mustn't allow the music team or the choir to just come and do as they like. Say, come here. What do you read in the Bible? To the musician, these are the lyrics. Don't say, ah, but I'm feeling, I feel. So who is the psalmist in the church? He listens to pastor's teaching, puts them as lyrics in a song. He sings back the teaching to us. Not that he says, ah, there's one raining song now, sir. Can we sing it? What is the song?
Oh, I feel you everywhere. I feel you everywhere.
Come. Hallelujah! You will find the lyrics of the songs in the pastor's teaching.
Glory to God. So, the songs of the Psalms are doctrine. Are they not doctrine? Are they not doctrine? The Lord is my shepherd is a song. The Lord said to my Lord is a song. My God, why have you forsaken me is a song. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? You are reading songs. Because songs are an exercise of our deliverance. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Mark 14. Jesus, before he went to the cross, Mark 14 and 26, and when, this was after they took the Passover, and when they had sung an hymn, Jesus sang before he went to the cross. He sang. He sang. Church is where we sing. We sing. The difference between what we do and what people do in entertainment is that we don't sing to entertain. We sing to reign in this world. Hallelujah. We sing as a fact of the kingdom of God. We sing out God's will and purpose in the earth. In the songs, 150 recorded in scripture, we find God's direction. We find His purpose and plan. The book of Acts also has a lot of psalms. That means songs of people today should be sermon notes. Sermon notes. Sermon notes. They are songs. Songs. Songs ought to be sermon notes. No wonder. As we get into the New Testament, the song, they're singing for entertainment. You read about that in the two times I can mention, the birthday of Herod. Herodias, they're singing, they're entertaining themselves. And what happened? Someone's head was cut off. Then the prodigal son's story, where they had music and dancing, entertainment. Music and dancing. But when you come to the church, it is not for entertainment. Glory to God. It's not for entertainment. In Acts 16, we see Paul. Now, that's not all. I'm going somewhere. In Acts 4, when the church was persecuted, and they went back to their company, verse 23 through to 24, and lifted up their voice in one accord, what did they pray? A song. A song. A song. I love that song, that old song. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situations, the joy of the whole world. He's Mount Zion, side of the northern city of the great King. You are the song of my music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Great is your name I sing. You are the mighty God. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of all kings. Now I return to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing. Now I return to you the song that you gave to me. You are... Who knows the next song? Other than complete, complete, complete in Him. I am complete in Him. Complete, complete, complete in Him. I am complete. He's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. He's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. He's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. Oh, I am complete
He's not by might. He's not by power. All by my Spirit fills us. He's not by power. He's not by power. Oh, by my Spirit fills us.
Exercise the believer's authority. Nothing should stop you from singing. Hallelujah. You sing all of the time. Hallelujah. You sing all of the time. Because the believer is a singing spirit. You sing all of the time. All of the time. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we find Paul and Silas. You know, Paul is not the right kind of pastor people should really have. You join his ministry, there's trouble the next day. Look at him like this. No wonder John Mark said, Oga, the way we are going, we may have the rapture before the rapture. You know, he ran away. And then you have Silas. Just the next chapter, after John Mark left in Acts 15, the next chapter, Silas. And they are going. And then they are caught. He said, oh, the Lord said they should not go to Asia. Let's go to Asia. You thought that going to Asia now means, hey, you know, Jelenke, Ibadun, you know, and they got there into jail. And Paul said, Silas! Said, yes, pastor. Come on, Silas! Woo! Say, glory. Say, oh, Silas, say glory. Silas says, glory. Say, glory! Glory! Say, it's time to sing. We're going to pray and we're going to sing psalms. Hallelujah. Because singing is spiritual. Hallelujah. We're going to sing. No wonder James said, is there any Mary? Let him sing psalms. Sing. Sing. Paul instructed. Ephesians 5:18. You can't be filled with the Spirit. And you're just looking like this. I like that brother. He's very quiet. He's filled with the Spirit. No. He's not filled with the Spirit. People that are filled with the Spirit are full of thanksgiving. He said, do not be drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit singing. Come on. Come on. Come on. Singing. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart. Singing. So watch me. Thank God for the music team. For the music team are not any special ministry. We all are in God's music team. We are all taught to sing. When you got born again, you got born again with singing. I wish I had time. Don't forget, go listen to that series. Where I explained the term new songs. New songs is a song of Exodus. As they crossed over, they had a song. Whatever they sang in Exodus 15, they couldn't sing it in Exodus 3. But now they can sing it. Hallelujah.
Because God has filled our mouth with songs. Songs of deliverance. Songs of victory. Songs of our inheritance. Songs of our authority. Songs of the body of Christ. Hallelujah! We have songs. Go to Revelation quickly. Hallelujah. Revelation 14. Before that, Revelation 5. Glory to God. Say, I can sing. But before we get there, look at Hebrews. Hebrews first. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Watch this. This is Jesus. For but he, verse 11, that sanctified, and they were sanctified, are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Can we take verse 12 together? Same to thy brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise. Hallelujah. One of the proofs of Christ's resurrection is that he's singing in our midst. He's singing in our midst. Say, Christ is singing in here. Say, he's singing in here. Say, he's singing in here. He sings. He sings. The psalmist said, when the Lord turned again the captives of Zion, he said, we're like they that dream. Then was our mouth filled with singing. Hallelujah. I love that song. Was it by Bethel Music? He said, we crossed the sea. So we can stand and sing, I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Because when you cross the Red Sea of the devil's sin and the flesh, you come out victorious. And when you come out victorious, one of the proofs is that you are singing. Hallelujah. Let nothing take away your songs. Let nothing take away your songs. You must sing all the time. Listen, we're not supposed to just pray always. We're supposed to sing always. Hallelujah. Say, I sing always. Say, I sing always. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now quickly look at this. Revelation 5. Are you there? Are you there? Revelation 5. And verse 9. I start from 8. And when they are taking the book, the four beasts and the 420 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Can we take verse 9? And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals whereof thou wast slain. Thou hast redeemed us unto God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And you have made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Say, I have this song. Say, I have this song. Look at Revelation 14. Watch this now. He says here, in verse 1, and lo, I looked. The Lamb stood on the Mount Zion with him 140 and 44,000. Zion is the city of David. Remember? Come on. Zion. We call the church Zion. Zion is David's city. I told you. God honored David. 2 Samuel 5 and 7. The city of David. Zion. We are called Zion. We are in Zion today because that is David's city. Revelation. And 14. And verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, the voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. Let's take three together. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. And before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn the song. What are they saying? It's not a song you get from the world. This is singing in the spirit. Singing by the Holy Ghost. A song that is not taught by man. It's given by the Spirit of God. Look at chapter 15. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Look at this now. Verse 3. Chapter 15, verse 3. Let's look at it together. And let's sing it together. Let's go. And they sing the song of Moses. Oh, hold on there. Is that the song of the Exodus? The song of deliverance? Come on, the servant of God, go on. And the song of the... Hey, so the song of Moses has now become the song of the Lamb. Hallelujah.
The song of Moses, the one we read earlier in Exodus 15. Let's go. He says, great and marvelous are thy works. He says, just and true are your ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship thee. So when we're saying, there is none holy as the Lord, I don't sing that song. Say what? I'm as holy as the Lord. If I give you a knock in the middle of your head, you're not as holy as the Lord. God stands in his own stead. Hallelujah. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside him. Neither is there any rock. Are you a rock? Are you our rock? As our God. Who is like unto thee? When we sing like that, we are creating a contest. We are putting out a battle. Who is like unto thee? Oh Lord, who is like unto thee? Oh Lord, amongst the gods, who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, always doing wonders. Hallelujah. Ascribe all the greatness to our Lord the Rock. His work is perfect and all his ways are just. Ascribe all the greatness to his work is perfect. His work is perfect and all his ways are done. Our God of faithfulness, oh, we have been just. We're making a claim so that the host of heaven will hear it. We're making a claim so that the host of darkness will hear it. Hallelujah. I love that song by Phil Driscoll. Hallelujah. It says, with our lips let us sing one confession. With our heart go to our true love. Thank you. of Hebrews says, by him, let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. And to sing. See, whenever you hear a sermon, turn it into a song. What are you doing? You are declaring war. You are making a claim. A claim. Hallelujah. Hear us, O Spirit of God.
Hear us, O Spirit of Godness. So you will know where we stand. We are the for change in us. Wash by the blood of the Lamb.
Let's go.
Blood of the Lamb.
Hear us, O Spirit of God.
Hear us, O Spirit of Godness. So you will know where we stand. We are his children, changed his blood. Washed by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. Let the people of God, taught by his name, walk off the ground and leave her from shame. One holy race, shame and blood.
Can have one song per sermon. One song per sermon. So sermon is over. They turn it into a song so that we can declare war. Hallelujah. You know, there's something we used to call in government college. When you want to find Trump, they say that we're looking for Trump. Singing is how we look for the devil's Trump. We're looking for Trump. Hallelujah. 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 You unraveled me with your melody.
You surround me.